listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ, live from Las Vegas, 200 Fox Sports Radio stations across this great nation, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 here in Vegas. The day after Monday Night Football. Not that exciting, but remember, guys, the beauty of the Straight Outta Vegas recaps. What did we learn? What can we take forward? So we are both, as sports bettors care about making money, sports fans, they listen to no more than their buddies. We got Brad Powers in studio, one of the pros who knows. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we are going to literally spend an entire segment explaining everything that was wrong with college football's rankings. And let me tell you, the winner of the title was affected drastically by one of the committee's decisions. My personal promise every day, really, even on Saturday and Sunday, we don't broadcast. I want to get that Vegas truth out there. But you can't have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, we start on Straight Outta Vegas in the NFL, and we go to Monday Night Football, where the NFC East was on full display in all of its glory. The Philadelphia Eagles, it took overtime, but a 23-17 win over the New York Giants.
Now, when you said in all its glory, was that sarcasm?
Oh, 100%. That division
I've heard
stinks.
About sarcasm yeah. before. That's where'd you learn that?
I've picked it up on the overnights. You know, all the time in the world there.
You know, I'm actually, my theory is, and this is inside, so I'll make it real quick. I think that there's nothing worse than long stretches on radio. Like, I don't even think, you know, the guy, I mean, we got such talent on FSR, literally. I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about the legends. They can do it. But man, you get a local guy that's not super good doing 3 hours. Oh my gosh. You hear more talk about their lunch than you could ever imagine. But Jonas, I got to tell you, I listen if I'm driving around on the weekends and he keeps it fresh.
Yep.
You know, we don't let him talk here too much. I don't want his takes. I don't want him to ruin his takes, right?
Right. We
just pick from the plum, you know, the plumbest of the takes. And sometimes when he takes the show over with one of his great takes, I feel, you know, I don't feel ambivalent. I love it because it's like, how deep is the bench if Jonas is just blowing everyone away? It's like, you wouldn't expect it because he's not the wise guy, but he does.
Yep.
And he's got a Wentz take in a minute here that I think is fascinating, but we got to start with Eli. I mean, Brad, just as a fan, what did you see?
Well, I was rooting for, as a fan, there was some love sentiment for me on Eli. I wanted a guy.
You love Eli.
What? You know, I appreciate the Manning family. I shouldn't have probably used the word love.
No,
I love the idea of a guy, you know, riding off into the sunset like his brother, not necessarily winning a Super Bowl, but maybe finishing with a couple of wins during this next couple of games.
Especially to get over 500.
Yes, especially.
Because, I mean, I said this on New York radio last week because I mentioned the 500 and they're like, oh, come on, tisk, tisk. It's like, wait a minute. What is going to be the lead rebuttal, yep, any bar argument, any talk rate, those 3 hour shows on the local stations? What are they going to say when it's time for Eli to be in the Hall of Fame or not?
Had a losing record as a starter.
Yeah. Who is, and they said, well, Joe Namath had a losing record. I said, exactly. Think about it. Joe Namath's brand right now is Susie Culver. In my mind, I got a picture of a fur coat. I don't know where that picture was from, but he's in like a fur coat. And that he had the guarantee against Baltimore, Super Bowl III, and that he had a losing record. Like, if I had to name four things on name, that's coming off the list. Yep. And he made the greatest prediction in the history of sports. Yep. So I like that. I can't imagine anybody that thinks it's a non-issue. Jonas, if you were a big Eli fan or you were a big Eli hater, how much would you be rooting to either have the ammunition as a hater of a losing record career or having that not be an issue for your hero Eli?
Oh, no, I'm going there. If I'm speaking out against him, I'm bringing up his total win-loss record, and I'm also pointing out that outside of the Super Bowl runs, he didn't win another playoff game. He was shut out in all the other appearances.
Yeah, and this really gets down. This is almost like a debate, Eli in the Hall of Fame, between the old school, the gut guys, the clutch guys, and the new school.
Yep.
That stats are all that matters. And it really is a proxy for that if you think about it. Because if you're a gut guy, how can't you think Eli is in? How many Super Bowls did Tom Brady lose?
Three.
Is it the 6-3, right?
Yeah.
And two of them to the same guy?
Yep.
And they were both in spectacular fashion? And I'll tell you this, you can say what you want. There's not a lot of quarterbacks that would have dropped. Talk about dropping dimes. That Manningham catch on the left sideline. I mean, that's one of the great throws in the history of the NFL.
Yes.
And the gut guy's going to point to that.
Yep.
And then the other guy, he's going to get out his abacus. He's going to start talking with a nasally talk. And he's going to tell you all the reasons now.
Yep.
And you know something? Neither side's going to want to hear each other. You can see that because it doesn't feel like anyone really has like a nuance. Everyone seems to have a strong opinion in a way. Because in a way, if you value wins, you got to say yes. I mean, is there any quarterback with two Super Bowl wins that's not in it?
I don't think so.
Is it Kenny Stabler is the guy they go to?
Oh, but I think Stabler, they won in 12, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, look that up. I don't think the Stabler had two, but if he... Okay, that's interesting.
I'm trying to think. There was a name that gets brought up as somebody who's won more, or is it...
Is it maybe a Redskins quarterback?
No.
I apologize. We can look. I always tell my guys, if it's a fact, let's just get it, right? So it was just in the off the cuff. We'll get it for you. RJ Bell straight out of Vegas. Let's get into the game, because obviously Eli had a very impressive first half. And it felt like turning back time. And then it all came crashing down. And it really did. I mean, if you look at the second half drives, it was literally three plays, four plays. As bad, anemic of an offensive performance as you're ever going to see in a half of football. And I don't think you can necessarily give the Eagles a bunch of credit for it. So, Jonas, again, with the fans' eyes, what did you see in the first half? What did you see in the second?
They just want injuries are a factor, no doubt about it. They're banged up at multiple positions, but they just don't look like they have any rhythm on offense. And I just feel like, as for everything we hear about Carson Wentz getting his big contract, it's been a really, really down year for him. I understand the things around him that's going on, but I still find it hard to believe that this team's below 500 at this point in the season.
If you just use the eye test, and I'm always suspicious of that, because usually when someone has an opinion not backed by numbers, not backed by facts, I mean, really, any fact in the NFL is going to be a number, right? How many wins? How many Super Bowls? How many? It's not high math necessarily, but it's going to be a number. And if you don't have the numbers, you hear the cry, trust your eyes. And it's like, okay, but how, you know, what that's always fascinating is when are the numbers and the truth out of line? And I'm not saying that's never the case, but man, that's a rare, rare case. You got that, Brad?
Jim Plunkett is the only Super Bowl winner. Two wins without going to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, my gosh. Now, what I remember about Plunkett is he had the single bar face mask, if I remember, because he was a kicker. Am I remembering that right? Or am I thinking of George Blanda? Oh, no, I'm thinking of George Blanda. Okay, that's another old Raiders quarterback. It's so funny. So I was born in 70, obviously 10 years old in 80. So like something like Earl Campbell in 78, I remember clear as a bell. something like the Dolphins, you know, obviously when you're two, but the Dolphins undefeated season seemed like something from prehistoric times. It's like when you're born and you start to be cognizant, yeah. It's like that's when time begins.
Yep.
You know, it's the same thing with Zeppelin. When I started listening to rock music, it was like 13, so 83, 84. Zeppelin had just retired like 3 years ago. It was like Zeppelin was Mozart. You know? In another way, too, because they were so great. But every time, Hit Parader, which was a big magazine in music, you know, at the time, it was very cheesy. About every third issue had Is Zeppelin Doing a Reunion was the cover. It was, and it was like, oh my God, could they, how old are they? So, there you go. RJ Vo, straight out of Vegas. The Wentz thing, Jonas, the idea that he's not the same quarterback that he was that first year, or the, you know, the season that, quite frankly, if he doesn't get injured, he probably wins the MVP.
Yes.
Do you think he's the same quarterback?
No, I don't. I think he's regressed.
And what do you think is the cause?
I think that mentally, he's always going to be chasing that Super Bowl, because when he's constantly got to hear they won a Super Bowl and there are teammates on that roster who won a Super Bowl, but it wasn't with him as the quarterback, it feels like he's going to be chasing that. And it feels like he's pressing at times, and he hears that, and I think the stress maybe sometimes gets to him, and because of it, I think his performance is lacking because of that.
So you think it's on the field that he's thinking, because really, the famous Joe Montana story, right? I think it was against the Bengals, comes out, last drive to win it.
Yep.
And these are why legends are, you know, really why legends are created. Is he apparently pointed it out and said, is that John Candy, who was, you know, the heavyset famous movie star at the time? And like, supposedly there was laughter all through the huddle and touchdown. Now, again, if he didn't score a touchdown, there might have been a, if he took that game seriously, maybe he would have won. You never know. It's the victor writes history, as they say. But Jonas has a fascinating point. If during the high leverage times, the high stakes times, he's feeling nervous, then it's going to affect them at the most important, the Eagles at the most important time. Numbers, maybe say Jonas isn't right. So Jonas, I'm going to give you full rebuttal time here.
Yeah.
If you want to say, don't trust the numbers, trust your eyes. The Eagles, since they beat Atlanta in January 2017, remember, division round, Atlanta had the ball inside the 10 with less than 2 minutes left, score they win, most likely. At the time, Atlanta was favored. Vegas said Atlanta had a better chance to win the game than the Eagles. You got to wonder how Peterson, how everything, Frank Reich, all changes if odds had gone the way that they were favored to, right? Who knows if Peterson even has a job today? They get knocked out there?
Wow.
Right? Maybe this year it'd be like literally he better win out or he's in, you know. Since then, in counting that game, we ascertained, and there's some subjectivity to this. So I'll tweet this out after the show, at RJ in Vegas. Which games were must win? And anytime there's a must win game, you got to put the must in quotes. It usually means if you lose, you got like a 3% chance, right? So to practically be competitive, you got to win the game. So pregame.com research, McKenzie did this work. We looked at it and we added them all up. And I'll just run down some of the games just so we have a little context. Obviously, any playoff game is going to meet that. Right? You got to win or you're out. And then we've got games in which they entered in at 4-6, 5-6, 5-7. Nick Foles returning to a starter against the Rams. You remember that game? They were 10-point dogs. Entered the game 7-7, all the way up to the last game of the year, making them 9-7. Wild card, division round, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, you added all. So these are looking at, it's very objectively looks like the list. 10-2 straight up. Philadelphia Eagles in a must-win game. 8-3-1 against the spread. So my memory is that it feels like Wentz seems to mess up when they have any cushion. Like, it's almost like, put our backs against the wall, baby. That's the way we like it. But when their backs get against the wall, they seem to win a crazy amount.
Yeah, and last night proved to be the issue. Wentz was unbelievable in the fourth quarter and overtime. He got a majority of his stats in those two sessions.
I actually think that Jonas is right, that emotion's there, but it's affecting him in a weird way. It's almost like it's causing him to be nervous until he gets to the precipice of, you know, playoff death, and then seemingly maybe he goes on autopilot. He's so nervous. I don't know, but I see his point, because everyone I talk to that watches the All-22, the people that say, you know, oh, his target is a little low and the ball's sailing on him, they're watching every play. They're saying Wentz isn't this. He's not performing the throws, not just the stats, the throws at the same level. And, I mean, just with my eye test, I'm not an All-22 guy. I agree. The question is why? Well, luckily, we'll be here the rest of the season. And Christmas Eve, by the way. Brad, I'm giving Fezzik the day off. You've got to. It could be me and Jonas going solo.
I'll be here.
Oh, he's a grinder, this guy. He's a grinder. When we come back, we're going to break down how, why, perhaps the College Football Playoff Committee got it so wrong. I believe they got it wrong, and I also believe that, yes, money's involved.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, somebody got it very, very wrong in the world of football. We'll tell you who that is here in just a couple of moments from now.
And someone's going to make money from it. Hopefully us with our betting. You're listening to the fastest growing show on Fox Sports Radio. Up 150% since January. You know why? Because of you. We appreciate it. Keep spreading the word. Let's keep it growing. We want to prove that a Vegas show, even for non-bettors, can be successful. It's already happening. But you know me, press an advantage. Every weekday, we're here on those 200 FSR stations. Also, FoxSportsRadio.com and the iHeartRadio app and SiriusXM and podcast. Just search RJ Bell. Right now on the strip, 57 degrees. The neon is chugging.
So RJ, the college football playoff rankings came out on Sunday, and the final four is LSU, Ohio State 2, Clemson 3, and Oklahoma 4. They will meet in the college football playoff coming up later on this month. But you feel, being the voice of Vegas, that they got it very wrong.
Well, I think they got it wrong, but even more importantly is how important it is that they got it wrong. So for the listeners, you got to ask yourself, do you agree with this? And then you're going to ask yourself, do you see now how impactful it really is? And it really is who was number one. Because on the surface, Ohio State winning a game against Wisconsin. Now, where was Wisconsin? I mean, we could look at the...
They were eighth.
The eighth in the playoff
rankings. The playoff rankings, yep.
So the eighth best team.
Yep.
And they win by double digits.
Yep.
Now, they had a bad half.
Yep.
In a weird way, it's more impressive.
Absolutely it is, RJ, because that was the last remaining question we had about Ohio State.
Could they come back?
Could they come back? How would Ohio State handle adversity? They're down two touchdowns at halftime, 27-0 in the second half. That's the one remaining question that I had about the Buckeyes answered.
That's a good point from Brad Powers there. I hadn't even thought of that. I was thinking, were they down at any quarter? I don't think they've been down any quarter, have they?
I know coming into the game, they had only, all season long, had only trailed for like 4 total minutes out of all the games combined. 4 minutes.
Well, that's not a number. An undefeated Big Ten, that couldn't possibly be a number one seed. Now, you might say, well, LSU is undefeated and the SEC is better, right? You'd probably say it with a Southern accent, so which I have no offense to, but let's be honest. Not a lot of SEC fans in upstate New York.
No.
So, which conference was better? The Brad Powers power ratings, I think they're the best Vegas numbers out there. That's why you're on my show. What does your number say?
SEC better than the Big Ten. Not by much. And what really hurts the Big Ten is a team like Rutgers, who's a bottom 10 team nationally. So a team like Rutgers really weighs
down. Yeah, but you know something? Practically, it doesn't matter. So imagine I'm Usain Bolt in his prime, all right? And who do I care about? I care about no false starts, and I care about who's the two or three people that have any chance to beat me. If the 30th, or let's say in his case, the 12th guy or 14th guy was a little bit better or a little bit worse or even a lot better, so the 14th guy could be a number 10 somewhere else. Yeah. So what? I'm only going to be favored, you know, by, let's go back to football now. Oh, I'm favored by 28 instead of 33.
Yes.
Statistically, it's a distinction without a difference. That team is going to beat Ohio State or LSU, oh, almost never.
Yep.
When's the last time that such a good team? I know teams get upset, but when a team as good as Ohio State, as good as LSU, let's give them credit, it's a good team. When do they get beat? You know, the fact that Clemson almost got beat, they were 28 point.
Yes, against North Carolina.
It's been like the albatross of albatrosses, yes. And he still won the game. I don't think that matters. I think if you start ticking down, let's go down your power ratings and let's compare. This is all impromptu here, by the way. I'm RJ Bo straight out of Vegas. So let's ask Jonas as Brad's putting this together. So what I want to do is give me the top three teams in the SEC other than Ohio State, LSU, top three in the Big Ten, and let's have one against one and see who would be favored. Let's take a gander. Jonas, just gut feeling, LSU, Ohio State, number one.
I would go Ohio State.
Why?
Because I think I was more impressed with them this season than I was LSU. And I think that many people sort of came to the conclusion in the first half with them trailing, oh, that's it. First spot is gone. Never mind the entire second half where they were completely dominant over a team that they had already beaten and shut them down. I would lean towards LSU number one.
You know,
or
you
Ohio
just said,
State number one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you just said something really, really on, I think. When you have that visceral reaction to the point of that it's not just a score to an impression, oh, Ohio State's disappointing. You have that in your brain pathways. I mean, they talk about things like, you know, envision the future and it will happen. Well, there's some science behind that. And if you think about it, you wake up from a scary dream, it feels real until you can kind of acknowledge it's not. Your body's having that reaction. A lot of people had the reaction, Ohio State is disappointing. Though if they just looked at the final score, they would have never thought that.
Right.
So let's go down, Brad, and go through the list. Who is the best team in the Big Ten other than Ohio State?
Michigan.
Okay. I don't agree with that, but we'll accept it. I mean, again, me and Harbaugh,
he smells,
do not get along. But it's more than personal. I just don't like his ethos. But who would they play?
Alabama. They just so happened to play them in the bowl game this year. Alabama's about a touchdown favorite. My power rankings say 6.
Okay. Now, let's be candid. The market, you, and I get it. Alabama has won consistently like no team we've seen.
Yeah.
I'm not talking 3 or 4 years, 5 years. I'm talking about a decade plus. And they've covered the spread a ton. A lot more than you. They're almost like the Patriots of college football. If there was a blind resume, where would Alabama be ranked?
Ooh.
Because I'm going to just give a little hint. 17.
Oh, no, not that.
What did they do? What's their, make my case. I'm the skeptic. All right? I'm the Alabama skeptic. Now, I kind of get the point that we can say, well, there's all these recruits they got. They got 4 stars. They got 5 stars. That's not necessarily a Southern accent, but it's kind of a limited intelligence accent, not a Southern accent. Yeah. In fact, I love when there's like a super smart Southern person because there are people that have a bias against that accent. And to me, they have an advantage. No one sees them coming.
Yep.
I got a little hillbilly accent. It's always been to my benefit. They're like, I don't have to worry about that guy. Listen and say, okay. Jonas thought the same thing, right? He's like, yeah, he doesn't have my smooth delivery. That's what he's thinking. He's right. That's funny. He actually gave a real laugh there. That was what was funny. Because you think about it, we came on the weekend before him. You know he's always eyeballing who's coming up saying, yeah. Oh, he probably had a big X through my name.
I knew all the behavioral patterns before the show started. I heard them every week. I knew them all.
No, I'm talking about when we did the weekend show.
I listen all the time, yeah.
So, make the case.
If you look at points per game differential, margins, yards per play
margins.
So, margin,
with no consideration for strength of schedule then?
Strength of schedule was weak for Alabama this year.
Okay, so make your case. I mean, I think we're saying you can't.
Yeah, I can't.
All you can do is say, how could Alabama be worse than 6?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. But I know this. Sounds like Colin, that we criticize him for, saying, look at his arm strength. When you have a season worth of games, and what was their most impressive win?
Texas A&M, maybe, on the road.
And how many losses did Texas A&M have?
5.
Are you serious? That's the most. What's their second most impressive win?
Oh, my goodness.
Duke?
Duke was a losing team. I might have to Mississippi State on the road, maybe.
But somehow this is the better than any Big Ten team but Ohio State. All right. It could be, but let's admit it is total reliance on they got to be better than they seem. Yep. That doesn't seem like a great handicapping approach.
No.
RJ Bell straight out of Vegas talking to Brad Powers. He has all the college knowledge. I disagree with him on Alabama. Number 2.
You're going to disagree on this one. Georgia, about a 2-point favorite over Wisconsin.
Okay. Which Georgia's most impressive win?
Florida.
Okay. And how much they win that one by?
7.
All right. Second most impressive?
Notre Dame, 1 by 6.
Okay. You know, I'll give them the Notre Dame. There's finally an SEC comp. I mean, they look so bad. But they would be that big of a fate. Well, I guess I would not want the injuries accounted for. You, like across this. But you're assuming they were healthy.
Yep.
Third team
would be Auburn, a 2-point favorite over Penn State.
Wow. It just seems like every SEC team gets the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, because other than Alabama, who did Auburn beat?
Oregon.
Okay. And let's be candid.
Yeah, very fortunate in that game.
I mean, we always talk about false finals.
Yes.
How do you think? I mean,
for a majority of the second half, Auburn's chances of winning that game were like 30% at best.
What do you think, Jeff?
Did Georgia get punished enough for their South Carolina loss?
I mean, since they got, South Carolina.
Yeah.
I thought you were bringing up how in the playoff, I keep wanting to say BCS, in the playoff rankings, how much did they drop from getting demolished?
No drop. Because they
got demolished.
Yeah.
How many?
They dropped one spot is all. Oklahoma passed them. And they still was said the argument for 4 was between Oklahoma and Georgia.
It's crazy.
That was the argument.
I tell you this. I always think they're very savvy, the committee. That's about the stupidest thing they could say. Because I speculated they dropped Alabama so much to make a statement, but it's my belief, and I'll tell you this, if you agree with this or disagree, I want to hear an argument against it, like, oh, no way, RJ. And if you agree, you're going to love it, because this is wild. I believe that they saw, remember, what happened the penultimate weekend, so 2 weekends ago, what happened? Ohio State beat Michigan. Auburn beat Alabama. I think they had the Michigan-Alabama game slotted.
Mm.
Because let's be candid. If you had to rank the games other than the playoffs you want to see.
Michigan-Alabama. Other than the playoffs, Michigan-Alabama is clearly above any of those New Year's 6 games.
All right. So you made a big point. You said, RJ, let's defend the committee a second because they dropped Alabama so much, they're not going to make the Big 6.
Yeah.
And I said, well, explain those rules to me. And about 20 minutes later, I don't know if I know all those rules.
Yeah.
So there's some convoluted rules.
Yes.
But somehow I saw, wait, Michigan, New Year's Day, Brad was wrong. I came in with a big smile, and he goes, no, that's not a New Year's Day 6 game. It's like, what? It's on New Year's Day. But it's the biggest game of the bowls. They had it slotted. Give them credit. Good matchmaking.
Yep.
But then they could still drop Alabama really harshly, look like they're punishing them, but set up the best freaking matchup of the bowls.
Yep.
So no punishment, really.
No.
All right, guys, do you believe that? It just seems coincidental that Michigan lost that day and so did Alabama. Then they make some gesture that they never do against the SEC, and lo and behold, Alabama lands on their feet. What a coincidence. RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, on Twitter, at RJ in Vegas. All right, Brad, let's get down as we wrap the segment up. I'll admit, maybe the Big Ten was, or inferior. I'll admit it. I don't know if I agree with those numbers, but it feels like Ohio State was a lot more impressive. Who did you have between LSU?
I have Ohio State about 2 points better than LSU.
And Clemson would be favored over LSU.
Yes, Clemson about 3 points better than LSU.
Who would be, or not who would be, who is the favorite to win it all?
LSU, clear favorite.
What's the odds right now? Because what I'm hearing from you is LSU's the third best team.
Yep.
But somehow they are the favorite.
Yeah, plus 140. So 100 wins you $140 bucks, LSU.
And the other teams?
Clemson's plus 220. Ohio State's plus 270.
All right. So literally, LSU has almost double the chance to win the title, but you think Ohio State's better?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Think about that, guys. Why is that? It's because the one seed got to play the four that was clearly inferior.
Yep.
And if you just do the math and look at the money line, you can impute out what the chances of winning are. What would Ohio State been against Oklahoma? What are they now?
About an 83% chance to beat Oklahoma. Right now against Clemson, Ohio State's got about a 47% chance.
Think about that, Jones. Literally, their chance got almost cut in half, Ohio State, because they dropped to two.
Yeah.
By being undefeated, winning by double digits in the championship game. And did we see this? What is the matchup? You know what we got to do? We're going to tell you exactly why. I got the numbers here. I think, though the SEC might have been better, I'll say that under a little dispute, that the numbers don't lie. Ohio State had the better season.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 10 minutes from now here on FSR, we will have Best Bets, your chance to make a little bit of coin on a Tuesday night. Want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day store pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,600 locations and nationwide. Get in the zone, AutoZone. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Let's give the playoff committee their respect. Let's let them decide who's the top 25, and let's do a head count. How many games did Ohio State win against top 25, end of the season, top 25 by the committee? How many?
Five and oh.
Well, they're undefeated.
Yeah.
LSU?
4-0.
Okay, so we can debate who's better, blah, 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 but the teams that could beat you, the top 25, Ohio State wins 5, LSU wins 4.
Mm-hmm.
Advantage Buckeyes. When we come back, I'm going to tell you something about the out-of-conference schedule about Ohio State that is doubly as convincing. The Buckeyes got jobbed, and literally their title odds got almost cut in half because of it. And two best bets from Brad Powers coming up.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. RJ, we've been discussing the college football playoff rankings, and you guys think Ohio State has a more than legitimate gripe to be the number one team in the country.
I think the committee was wrong. And we talked about the impact first. Why does it matter? Well, Oklahoma, not near as good as the Big Three. And Clemson, by the way, favored right now over Ohio State. Brad was the first national voice, Brad Powers, talking about we were sleeping on Clemson. Tomorrow, we'll actually bring some numbers to the table. For an undefeated team, this was a historic season in some ways, not to mention defending champions. But they're good. They're favored. And if you look at the odds of Ohio State winning against Oklahoma, 83%. That's just math. Odds now currently against Clemson, 47%. literally their chance to win even the first game almost got cut in half. Their title odds for the Buckeyes almost got cut in half. Big impact. High State with more quality wins. 5 top 25 versus 4. But out of conference, Brad, woo-wee. There's a stat on the Buckeyes, 3 games that blows me away.
Yeah, so the Buckeyes played 3 out-of-conference games. All 3 of those teams played in their conference championship game, Florida Atlantic, Cincinnati, and Miami of Ohio.
So you're saying, hey, we're not playing a bunch of Division I's, and maybe you could say they didn't intend to play such tough teams,
yeah.
But they did.
Yep.
We can't act like a conference champion. Like Cincinnati, I mean, they had a heck of a season.
Absolutely. Won 10 games.
So let's then compare to LSU. Now, they played Texas.
Yep.
Let's give them credit for the scheduling. How many losses Texas have?
5.
Okay. So not a great team.
No.
What were their other? I bet they had a tough one in there.
I don't think so. Georgia Southern, Utah State, and Northwestern State. That's state, Northwestern State, not Northwestern.
Yeah, that would have been too tough playing Northwestern.
Yeah.
Now, really, guys, you win your conference championship game by double digits. You have the better point difference, all the stats like that. You have more quality wins if you're Ohio State, and you have a tougher out-of-conference schedule. And somehow LSU jumps. You know why? Because LSU was always going to jump. You know why?
They do not lose money. They don't mind if everybody else does, but they don't lose. It's impossible, but they'll figure a way. I've seen things you wouldn't believe. You'll see.
Well, we saw, didn't we?
Yeah.
Is somehow, no rhyme or reason, LSU jumps. Now, why is it money? Because think about it. LSU versus either of these teams guarantees a title that people want to watch. Let's be candid. LSU Ohio State sounds like a heck of a matchup.
Yep.
LSU Clemson, defending champion, new kid on the block, ACC, SEC. But imagine if Ohio State played Oklahoma and they win, and you might think, okay, that's a good game. But Ohio State Clemson in the finals, I get it. You might say, what's the LSU obviously is the team that the fans are behind right now. Could you tell me that Clemson and Ohio State, which is a semifinal game, does that cause the casual fan to get involved? Because you might say defending champion, and I'm going to say they don't even know that necessarily. The casual fan's going to sit down, who's playing. I just can't fathom anyone thinks Clemson is the same draw. Now, I know as a football fan, you might be thinking, well, it's a hell of a game. I just don't think it'd be the same draw. What do you think?
LSU's a bigger draw than Clemson, but yeah. I'll argue Ohio State's and Alabama are the two biggest draws in college football.
Yeah, but they couldn't get out. They tried everything they could to get them in, but they couldn't get them in.
Yeah.
You know something? This is what we're going to do. Brad had 2 best bets. Let's give one today because we're a little tight. We've been arguing. One tomorrow, Fezzik back tomorrow. He'll have his own best bet.
All right, let's do tonight, college basketball. We're going with BYU -8. Here's the handicap. It's a simple one. I think one team's overrated, the other's underrated. We'll start with Nevada. That's BYU's opponent tonight. Nevada's overrated. Why? Last couple years, if you've been following college basketball, Nevada's been really good, including a very deep run in the NCAA tournament. But this year's team, not even close. Why? Nevada lost all 5 starters and their head coach. So far this season, the record looks okay, 7-3, but it's because Nevada's played a weak schedule. So Nevada overrated. In my opinion, the team we're betting on here, BYU is underrated this year. Number one reason why, the first 9 games of the season, BYU played without their best player, Childs, who's one of the best players in the entire country, a 20-point-per-game, 10-rebound-per-game guy, but he's back in the lineup now. BYU underrated, and because they played a very tough schedule so far, add it all up, BYU -8 tonight, best bet.
College basketball. The chair, you haven't made a college basketball pick. You know, quickly, I don't think I explained myself too well, but I think I can do it in a sentence on this LSU. LSU is the biggest draw. Do we agree with that?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Offense sells. You got the Heisman Trophy winner.
LSU is the biggest draw, correct?
Yep.
The biggest draw gets the easy game. I mean, in a way, it's that simple. The odds of the biggest draw getting knocked out plummet when they play Oklahoma. Mm. I mean, it's really that simple, and I think money drove it because rhyme or reason didn't.
The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are straight out of Vegas. We'll be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio, and as always, on the iHeart Radio app.